Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Last week in our study of James chapter 3, we were talking about the fact that God does not compare us with other people, but with Jesus. Let's continue with that today.
Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And when the earth shall crumble,
I will plant my feet on this firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Lord does not compare you with other people. As a matter of fact, the only comparison I see in the scriptures, it says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are compared with Jesus Christ himself. You always come out on the short end of that deal when you're compared to Jesus. So my friend, don't look at your approachability, the idea of being easily entreated, as you are compared to someone else. No, this speaks of a work the Holy Spirit does in your own heart to bring you to a point where you are easily entreated. The problem may be you simply do not have a servant attitude. Some have a servant attitude, but not a submissive attitude. I've seen people that will do anything for anybody, but they have problems with authority. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus spoke of the scribes and Pharisees, and he told the disciples to do what they tell you, but don't do as they do. Now, the scribes and Pharisees, Jesus really didn't have a lot of good things to say about them. However, he said because they sit in Moses' seat, they were to obey them. In Acts chapter 23, the high priest had Paul slapped across the face, which was contrary to the law. And Paul rebuked him, called him a whited wall. And someone said, "Rebukest thou God's high priest?" And when Paul realized the high priest's position, he then apologized and admitted his sin and wrong in that matter. Because although he was not a good high priest, it was still the high priest, and he must obey and show a respectful attitude. In 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the hard husband, and yet, though he's hard, a good wife, a good Christian wife, will be submissive unto him. Romans 13 speaks of government, and we have to be submissive unto government. I could have a job, maybe running a plant that pays me seven figures a year. Let us say that I have a job that makes $1 million a year now. I don't even make a tenth of that, my friend, nowhere near a tenth of that. So don't think that I do. But just imagine that I did. And on the job, we have hundreds of acres and lots of machinery, and I'm over hundreds of people. And I have absolute power. I mean, somebody comes on the job, I can fire them that day just because I don't like their looks. And I have the power to fire and to hire, to promote and to demote, and I have all that power. And I go out and I get in a car that is worth six figures, and I have a chauffeur. Oh no, we'll ask the chauffeur right now. I decide I want to drive the car myself that day, and so I drive out of the lot. I'm going 50 miles an hour in a 35 mile an hour zone, and a law enforcement officer who makes maybe $30,000 a year pulls me over. He has authority over me. As a Christian, I must submit to his authority. If I sit there and I say, "All right, Barney, why aren't you back at the office with Andy?" Or if I say, "Don't you have anything better to do? There are criminals all over this place, and you're trying to stop me just because I'm driving a little bit over the speed limit." Or I can go on and make all the nasty remarks I want to make. That is not a Christian. That is not a Christ-like attitude. And my friend, that is an attitude that is of the devil. And if I have that kind of an attitude, then my friend, I am wrong. I have to know how to submit to those in government. 1 Peter chapter 2 speaks of a hard and froward employer. And we're to be submissive to him. Now, here are various areas of people in authority that are not really good people. Yet we are to submit to them with a spirit of meekness. You see, here are people, and this deals with people you do not like. But these are opportunities that the Lord is giving us. These are situations to show our purity, to show that we indeed are easily entreated. Are you easy to be entreated? How close to the goal are you of having the wisdom that is from above being worked out in your heart? Does the Holy Spirit have a long way to go? I'm sure he does in other hearts as well as in mine. Now the next work here in James 3:17 says, full of mercy and good fruits. And that's the next steps toward the goal that God has in giving us the wisdom that is from above, that is fruit that should be manifested in our daily life. Now, there is a difference between grace and mercy. Grace is giving us what we do not deserve. None of us deserve salvation. None of us deserve to go to heaven. And that is grace when a person gets saved. That is God's grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. On the other hand, the word mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. We all deserve to go to hell. However, we find that God is a merciful God and provides a way of salvation. Notice the text states that when a person has the wisdom from above, that also means that he has the Holy Spirit working in his heart and he's being submissive to that work, and therefore there is a fullness of the Spirit in him. We see that this person is full of mercy, not partial, but full. This quality must be very important that God has placed it in the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5:7, he says, blessed are the merciful, and he promised a reward with it. And so as a result, we see it is wise to be merciful. In Proverbs chapter 3, we have all read probably or heard read at one time or another verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord as you continually exercise mercy and the truth of God's word. Sometimes God's way will be a hard way, but you follow it. Now, I read to you Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and a lot of us have leaned on those verses. But verses 3 and 4 preceding that says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Now, you might decide to be merciful to someone, but you exclude the truth. For example, I can be forgiving to a person, but they must confess and forsake their sin. If they're not willing to confess and forsake their sin, then I am sinful myself if I'm showing mercy towards them in excusing that and not requiring repentance and the forsaking of sin. So that's a very important thing. So he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, tie it around you so it's a part of you. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Mercy and truth should always go together in your heart and mind. He says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, each of us want favor with God. And the way that we find favor and good understanding with God is having mercy and truth in our hearts and minds, and never divorcing mercy from truth. Mercy is not weakness. The Bible tells us about hell and the return of Christ when the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. Does that sound like weakness to you? It doesn't to me. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. His mercy is to suffer the consequences of our sin. Because the wages of sin is death, final complete separation from God forever in the lake of fire. It is the wrath of God being outpoured. But Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't be good enough for it. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. But it's by his mercy. He alleviates the consequences I deserve without compromising his truth. He pays the penalty in full. Christ is not a doormat. Judgment will come if we reject. If you are saved, we see that in 1 John 1:9, he says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, he does save and he cleanses, and he will do that. But he also chastens those that are his own. His first desire is for you to repent. God does not enjoy chastening his children. But when he does chasten them, he does it for their good, not for his pleasure. I want you to listen to the chastening of God as it's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 12. Beginning with verse 5, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth. That word scourgeth means he flogs with a whip, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure. But he, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. Now notice he called it the fruit of righteousness. And here we find that this wisdom from above that comes down to us, we find that it's first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy being treated, and now full of mercy and good fruits. Good fruits. And that's one of the reasons for his chastening in our lives. Yes, he chastens, but first, his desire is for you to repent. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
stands my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.